We're holding a Masechta Shabbos at the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, at the beginning of the fourth Perek, Perek Bameh Taimnit. The general rule is that before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, one is allowed to do Hatmana with a material which is Eina Maisif Hevel, a material which does not add heat. It only maintains heat. For example, a blanket. However, if it's a Dover HaMaisif Hevel, something which actually adds heat as Shabbos progresses, that it is also to do hatmana, since we're afraid if the food cools off, we're afraid of shemiyachata begecholam. He may come to move the coals around. On Shabbos, however, what we just mentioned before is speaking about Erev Shabbos, but on Shabbos, however, hatmana is completely asur, even with a davar she'ena maisif hevel. And now let's begin the Mishnah. In which type of materials can food be placed on Erev Shabbos to be maintained into Shabbos? I.e., what kind of materials are Eina Maisif Hevel and can be used to do Hatmana on Erev Shabbos? And what cannot be used since they are Maisif Hevel? The Mishnah answers, you cannot use olive press, animal manure, salt, lime, sand, and all of these are cases whether the item is wet or dry. But straw, wine press, soft cotton, or wool shearings, grass, are usur if they are damp since they are Maisif Hevel. But if these four items are dry, then hatmana with them is mutar on Erev Shabbos, since they, in a dry state, are not maisif hevel. Daf Mem Ches, the Gemara. If someone puts one kettle of water on top of a different kettle, just to warm it up a bit, this is not called hatmana or bishul, and it's mutar. But if the top kettle is cold water, it may be usur. The Gemara says, although normally tying a knot or untying it is usur on Shabbos, but if a shirt comes back from the laundry with its collar tied, it's mutter to untie it, since it was never intended to be a permanent knot. But to create a new neck hole is usur, since this finalizes a beged, which is called makeh bepatish. Also, to put feathers in a pillow for the first time is usur, because of makeh bepatish. Specifically, this is referred to as tikkun mana. However, to put in feathers which fell out, that's mutter, as long as it involves only a small amount of effort. Regarding winding a clock or a watch on Shabbos, Kutchus Aladaf brings the Chayyoda in Ilcha Shabbos Klal Mem Dalad Simen Yud Tes, who assers winding a clock or a watch on Shabbos. In his view, enabling a watch to work by winding it up is an act of Tikkun Mana or Makeh Bepatish. The Panamiris, however, based on our Gemara, which is brought in the Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Chav Beis, also brought in the Prima Gadim, Simen Shin Ches, says that it's mutter to wind a watch. He argues that since a watch must be wound daily, it's an act which does not have permanence. Therefore, winding a watch is not considered tikkun mana. Finally, the Gemara says if a stove has a beis hapach, a receptacle attached to it for a light or for spices, Rameir says it's considered mechuber to the stove. So if the stove becomes tame via maga, via touching, the receptacle also becomes tame. But if the oven is a klicheres, which becomes tame via the avir, then the Beis HaPach does not become Tame, but Rav Shimon says both are Mutter. Daf Mem Tes, the next Mishnah. You can do Hatmana with the following items before Shabbos, because they are Dvarim She'enim Moisif Hevel. Garments, wheat, feathers of a dove, sawdust, or fine flax materials. Rav Yehuda allows coarse materials, but not fine ones. Gemara. Rav Yane says in order to wear tefillin, one must have a clean body, like we learned from Elisha Baal Knafayim, Elisha the winged one. What is a gufnaki? Abaya says not to pass gas with the tefillin on. Rava says not to sleep with the tefillin, because since if a person falls asleep, he might pass gas or release shechvas zera. In the Tur, Simen Chav Zayin, it is brought that since today we are unable to be certain that we can control ourselves in these areas, we do not wear tefillin all day, we only wear them in the morning during davening. Why is Elisha called the Baal Knafayim? Mara relates a story that once the Roman government made a takana that anyone who wears tefillin will be killed. But Elisha wore them anyways in public. An officer saw him, Elisha ran away, and the officer pursued him. When the officer approached, he took the tefillin off, and the officer asked him what he had in his hands, and he answered the wings of a dove. And when he opened up his hands, in fact, they were miraculously the wings of a dove. Hence he was called Elisha Baal Knafayim. And in fact, Klal Yisrael is compared to a yayna, to a dove. Just like its wings protect it, so too our mitzvahs, especially tefillin, protect us. Taisus here asks why Elisha removed his tefillin when the officer was chasing him. We know that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that in the face of anti-religious decrees, one is mechuyav to forfeit his life to fulfill the mitzvahs. Since this Roman decree was directed against the observance of the mitzvah of tefillin, Elisha should have continued wearing his tefillin despite the danger. In answer to this, many Rishonim, including the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ran, distinguish between a decree enacted against the performance of a mitzvah saseh and a decree to violate a mitzvah lo saseh. It's usur to heed an anti-Semitic decree and actively violate an isser. However, heeding a decree which restrains a person from fulfilling a mitzvah saseh, that's mutter, even if one's life is at risk, since the failure to perform a mitzvah saseh is not an active violation, it's not a kumvase, but rather it's passive, it's a shev vialtasa. Alternatively, the Ritva answers that the basic daily tefillin mitzvah requirement is fulfilled by wearing tefillin once a day. Although one fulfills a mitzvah each moment that he wears his tefillin throughout the day, wearing them throughout the day is not a chiv, it's only a midas chasidus. Since Elisha had already fulfilled the basic obligation of tefillin that day, he was permitted to remove them to save his life. The next Mishnah. Animal skins may be used for hatmana, since they are not maisiv hevel, and in fact are not mukta either, since one can recline on them. However, gizei tzemer are mutter lahatmana, but they are considered to be mukta, since they are used to make thread. Aisa, how can one use them for hatmana if they are mukta? Mishnah answers, he moves them kila'achar yad. The Gemara. Hinds of animals are only mukta if they belong to a balabayas, but if they are business merchandise, then it's considered mukta completely, since a person is very careful with it, and therefore it's mukta machmas chesaron kis. A person is careful with them because he wants to sell it eventually. Therefore, since they're mukta machmas chesaron kis, they cannot be moved even l'tzarech gufay umekayme. Finally, there are boyim chaser achas, 39 malachas specified on Shabbos, which correspond to the malachas of the Mishkan. Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya says, the 39 corresponds to the number of times the Torah uses the words melacha, melachtai, or meleches. Daf Nun. If wood was cut to be used for firewood, it's muktzah. Before Shabbos, to demuktzatize them, one must do a maisa of tying them together and sit on them. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, a machshava to sit on them on Shabbos is enough to make them not muktzah, and melacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. A nozer cannot remove any hair from his body, but he can wash his hair and even comb it without a keli, and even if some hairs accidentally fall out, that's okay b'di'evid, and it's okay since it's dabar she'eino miskaven, and dabar she'eino miskaven is mutter. A person should wash his face, hands, and feet every day out of respect from the fact that we are created by Hashem. Finally, if one did a mutter dika hatmana before Shabbos and it became uncovered, he may rewrap it. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was machmer, and says you move a pot from its original place, but you only tilt it. Daf Nun Aleph, the next Mishnah. If one did not insulate a pot before Shabbos, he cannot do it on Shabbos, even with something which is not Maisif Hevel. Shabbos, one can fill a jug with cold water and place it under a cushion to keep it cool. There is no problem of Hatmana when one wants to keep something cold. The Gemara. Reb Nachman said, Hatmana of a cold object is mutter on Shabbos, and the gzera of bishul akum does not apply to water at all. Normally we know that certain items, if they are cooked by a guy, they become usur to eat due to a takanas chachamim of bishul akum. This was to protect us from socializing, which could then in turn lead to intermarriage. Rav also added that regarding bishul akum, kol shu nechal kamei shehu chai, ein by mishum bishul akum. Anything that can be eaten raw, there is no gzera of bishul akum, and water fits into this category. Even though it's usur to do hatmana on Shabbos, it's mutter to add to an existing covering. Finally, one is not allowed to crush ice or snow on Shabbos, so its water will come out. This is either due to the malacha of Nailad, which is the shita of Rashi, or the malacha of Schita, which is the shita of the Rajba. But one can't put the ice or snow into a cup of liquid, since he isn't crushing them by himself, but only indirectly causing them to melt. This is the shita of the Ramban. Or because no one can see that the ice is being crushed. This is the shita of the Ritva. Kudrus Aladaf brings the question on whether it's mutter to put water in the freezer on Shabbos in order to make ice cubes. Vesheva Talevi in Chelek Gimel Simenun Hei says that this question depends on the reason for the Isser to crush ice, as we mentioned here in the Gemara. If the problem with crushing ice is that it resembles squeezing fruit, as we said from the Rajba, then it's mutter to make ice cubes. There is no appearance of schita when making ice cubes. If, on the other hand, mailed is the reason for the prohibition to crush ice, as Rashi says, then perhaps making ice cubes is aser, since one is transferring water into a new substance, i.e. into ice, which is mailed. He points out, however, that even according to Rashi, making ice cubes should be mutter, since by placing water in the freezer, one does not manually create the ice, he only causes it. And merely causing ice to defrost, such as by placing it in the sun, is mutter according to the Shulchan Aruch. In conclusion, he says that since the Ramah rules that l'chatchila, one should not defrost ice or gravy, unless it defrosts directly into other liquid, so too one should refrain from making ice cubes unless there is a pressing need. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kiel Chasa brings in the name of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach, as well as the Shaivas Sadush and Shuvas Ber Maisha, that it is mutter to make ice cubes, even l'chatchila, on Shabbos. This marks the end of this parak, and now let's begin parak Hey, Bameh Behema Yotza. As background, just like a person cannot do malacha on Shabbos, so too a person's animal cannot do a malacha. This is referred to as Shvisas Behema. Tosfos explains that this Isser is derived from the Pasuk in Shmais, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, that says, L'man yanuach sharcha v'chamorcha, on the seventh day you shall cease working, so that your ox and donkey shall rest. Due to this Isser, a person is not permitted to allow his animal to go out to Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos while carrying a burden. So if an animal has a load on its back, he cannot go out with it into a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. This Mishnah will differentiate between clothing or similar items which a behema can go out with, and load-related items, which is called a masui, which the animal cannot go out with. And the Mishnah says, a camel can go out with a leash, since it's needed to control it. This is not called a masui, this is not called a load. A horse can also go out with its collar as well. And the Gemara says, if something excessively restrains an animal, this is referred to as a netirusa, Yisei Rasa, can an animal go out with it or not? Gemara says it's a machlekes. Some say it's aser, but Chanina says it can be taken out into a Rishus HaRabim, and Halacha is like Chanina Lekula. Dafman Beis. A paraduma becomes pasul if it is used for doing any type of work. If one ties a leash to it, that's not called a netirusa Yisei Rasa, it is not called work, and it's mutter to do this so it does not escape. The Gemara says a ring of a man can become tame, but that of an animal cannot, since it's a keli of a keli. The next Mishnah. A chamor, a donkey, can go out on Shabbos wearing a mardas, a saddle cloth, since it keeps him warm. But he can only go out if it was tied on before Shabbos. Goats can go out with pouches tied to its udder. Daf Nun Gimel, the Gemara. If it's not tied, it's usur, since we're afraid it will fall off, and the owner might then pick it up and carry it dal amas b'rishus harabim. A regular saddle is a machlokes if it actually warms the animal, so that it's a machlokes if it can be worn by the animal on Shabbos or not. People say that donkeys are always cold. That's why even in Chodesh Tammuz, even in the summer, it's mutter for them to wear a saddle cloth on Shabbos. The Gemara says a zav cannot go out with a pouch to catch emissions, and a cow cannot go out with a muzzle or an amulet on Shabbos. But a man can go out with an amulet, a kameah, especially if it's proven that this kameah works. Many medicines are also to take on Shabbos due to gzeira bishum shchikas samemanim. You might come to grind them up to make them into medication. But for a behema, it's a machlekes tanoim if this gzeira applies. Finally, nisim, miracles, often happen to save a person's life, but to wake up one morning and find a lot of wheat at one's doorstep, that's very rare. Daf Nun Dalad, the next Mishnah. What can an animal not go out with on Shabbos? Mishnah answers, a camel cannot go out with a back warmer. And also, one cannot tie camels together and pull the front one, which then pulls the others in turn. However, one can take a rope from each of the individual camels if he holds each of the ropes separately. There's a separate rope for each camel, and he holds them all together in one hand. That would be mutter to do on Shabbos. Gemara. If the mardas is tied well, then the camel can go out with it. And the first case of the train, the person pulling the first camel, and then all the others behind him, that would be usur, since it looks like he's taking them to a marketplace on Shabbos. The next Mishnah. A donkey cannot go out with a mardas if it wasn't tied to him before Shabbos, and not with a bell, even if it's stuffed so it will not ring. Chickens cannot go out with ropes, and a cow cannot go out with a ritzua shebein karneha, a string attached between its horns. The cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did go out with a ritzua ben karneha, and the Chachamim were not happy about it. The Gemara. The case of Ritzua Ben Karneha, according to Rav, it's always Aser. According to Shmuel, if it's to control the animal, then it's Mutter. Rav Elazar ben Azariah was very wealthy, and he had a lot of cows. The Mishnah, though, is speaking about his neighbor's cow. She used to allow her cow to go with a Ritzua Ben Karneha on Shabbos. Rav Elazar ben Azariah did not give her Musar regarding the Isser of Shvisis Behema. So the Amoraim considered it as if he was over on this Avera himself. I.e., if one doesn't give Teichacha to his household, he is responsible. And if he doesn't give Teichacha to people in the city, he's also responsible for their bad deeds. As a general rule, we know that women are potter from mitzvahs aseh shahazman groma, mitzvahs aseh which are tied to certain times, for example, eating in the sukkah. There are a number of exceptions to this rule. One exception is in cases of afhein hayu ba'aseh hanes, which, for example, would apply to Megillah, where women are mechuyev in Megillah, even though Megillah is a mitzvah sase shazman grama, or in cases of kol she yeshnan b'lay sase yeshnan base, in cases where in the Torah there is a related mitzvah, which they're mechuyev in the lay sase, therefore they're also mechuyev in the ase. For example, chametz on Pesach. Since they're mechuyev in the lay sase of not eating chametz on Pesach, therefore they're also mechuyev in the mitzvah sase of eating matzah on Pesach. Same thing would be true, that even though the mitzvah of Uviyam HaShvi Tishbais, resting on the day of Shabbos, is a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama, women are still mechuyev to observe Shabbos, because in addition to this positive mitzvah, there is the mitzvah Leisase of Leisase Kol Malacha, which forbids the performance of Malacha on Shabbos, and women are mechuyev to observe all mitzvahs Leisase. So Kol Sheyeshnan B'Leisase, in the Leisase of not doing Malacha on Shabbos, Yeshnan Base, they're also mechuyev in the assay of Shmir Shabbos. Kudrus al-Daf brings the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chafam and Beis, which says that there is a hekesh between the mitzvahs Zachar Asyam HaShabbos Lekadshe, in Shmais Perek Chaf, and the mitzvah of Shamar Asyam HaShabbos, which is in Devarim Perekei Pasuk Yud Beis. Since women are mechuyev to observe the Isser of Shamar Asyam HaShabbos, since it's a Lais assay, they're also mechuyev to perform the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush on Shabbos, which is derived from Zachar Asyam HaShabbos Lekadshe. It's a hekesh between Zachar and Shamar. Even though the mitzvah of Kiddush is also a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, they're mechuyev in that as well. As we mentioned, the mitzvah of Shvisas Behema is a mitzvah asei, which is derived from the pasuk v'lamayne nuach sharcha v'chamarcha, Shmais Perek Chav Gimel. The mitzvah leisasei of leisasei kol malacha does not apply to Shvisas Behema. The Minchas Chinuch, at the end of mitzvah Lamed Beis, argues that the obligation of Shvisas Behema should fall under the category of mitzvah sase shazman grama, and women should be putter from the mitzvah because unlike other mitzvahs of Shabbos, Shvisas Behema is neither a mitzvah lay sase, nor is it derived from Zachar. Based on this argument, the Minchas Chinuch finds difficulty with our Gemara, which says that Rabbi Elazar should have given Musar to his female neighbor for violating Shvisas Behema. His female neighbor should have been putter from observing this mitzvah, just as she was putter from observing the mitzvah of Sukkah, because the mitzvah says Shazman Grama. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in Kuperah Kol Kisveh, suggests that women are mechuyev to observe the mitzvah of Shvisas Behema based on the following Ran. The Ran maintains that women are mechuyev to observe the mitzvah midrabanan of Lecha Mishnah, reciting the bracha of Amais Lecha Minaretz on two loaves of bread. The Ran asserts that all mitzvahs pertaining to Shabbos are included in the hekesh of Zachar v'Shamar, even those which are not derived from the pasuk of Zachar. Therefore, women are mechuyev to observe the mitzvah of Shvisas Behema, even though it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama, just like they're mechuyev to observe the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. Daf Nun Hei. If tzaddikim have the opportunity to give teichacha to a city or to Klal Yisrael, and they don't, they get punished as well. Reb Chanina said, Chayim Samay Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of Hashem is truth, is Emes. And we can see this from the letters in Emes. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis. Tav is the last letter of the Aleph Beis, and Mem is in the middle. So Emes covers the entire Aleph Beis. Ani Rishon, Vani Achron, Vani Hu. Amar Rabami, Ein Misa B'loi Chet, Ve'ein Yisurin B'loi Avon. When there's no Chet, when there's no sin, there's no Misa either. And a son will not carry the sin of a father, or vice versa. Ibet Moshe Rabbeinu did not sin, and he died. Our answer is he did sin, when he hit the rack at Mara. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said, whoever says that Reuven did a sin, because of the pasuk Vayishkav es Bilha, he's mistaken, since all the sons of Yaakov were equal in Sidkus. And the pasuk therefore means that he upset the bed of Yaakov, i.e. took it out of the tent of Bilha and put it in the tent of Leah. Finally, when Yaakov gave Reuven his bracha and said, Pachas kamayim al toiser, since you rush like water, you won't be the leader, This is a machlokes tanaim, what it means. Rav Eliezer says, he sinned twice, both with znus, and he disgraced Yaakov. Rabbi Yeshua says, he did only one avera, znus. Rav Elazar HaMa'adi said, there is no chet of znus. Daf Nun Vav. Rav Shlomo Nachmani said, anyone who says David HaMelech was a chayta for having relations with Bathsheba, he's wrong. Also, whoever used to go out in the Melchames Beis David used to give his wife a get. So if he wouldn't come back, the wife could remarry. Rav Shlomo Nachmani also said, anyone who said Shlomo HaMelech was over the Avera of Avodah Zarah is mistaken. Really, he had wanted to build a bama, but he never did. He was, however, guilty of marrying Goyisha wives and didn't complain when they were Avid Avodah Zarah. The Sfasemis over here brings a medrash which says that Shlomo HaMelech was guilty of violating Lo Yarbalei Nashim. This pasuk teaches us that a melech is forbidden from marrying too many wives. When Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Pare, Gavriel stuck a reed in the sea, and upon it was built the city of Rome, which eventually oppressed Klal Yisrael. Finally, Rav said there was no greater Baal Tshuva than Yeshiyahu, who did Tshuva. This marks the end of this perek. Daf Nun Zayin, let's begin perek Vav, Bama, Isha, Yotza. We've already learned that Minatira, it's usher to carry an item on Shabbos from a Rosh Hashayachid to a Rosh Hasharabim, or vice versa, and it's also usher to carry Dala Amas Rosh Hasharabim. However, this Isser only applies to items carried, not to items of apparel worn by a person walking from one Rosh to another. For an item to be called apparel, it must fall into one of three categories. Number one, clothing to cover a person's body, for example, a shirt or a dress. Number two, clothing to protect a person from the elements, for example, a coat. Or number three, ornaments, for example, jewelry or a tie. If someone wears a non-ornamental item on Shabbos, which is called a masoi, he may be over on the Isra of Haitza on Shabbos min hatayra. Midarabanan, however, some ornamental items, for example, tachshit and jewelry, can also be included in Haitza, since the Rabbanan were afraid that someone might come to take them off and walk with them, dalat amas b'shasarabim, and be over on Haitza. Our perek will deal with certain items, which even though they're ornaments, still the Rabbanan said they were usr to wear on Shabbos, because a person may come to take them off and carry them in a Rosh Hasharabim. Now let's begin the Mishnah. On Shabbos, a woman should not go out with threads or straps wrapped around her hair, since she may have to take them off in order to do tefillah. She has to take them off because if she wore them, it would be a chatzitza. But once she takes them off, she may forget to put them back on, and then she'll walk out with them into a Rosh Hasharabim, and she'll be over on Haitza. The Mishnah also says, she cannot go out with certain ornaments that are not sewed on to her head, covering, since she may take them off to show someone in a Rosh Hasharabim. She also cannot go out with unconnected jewelry, but in these cases, if she does, she's not chayav to bring a chatas. Taisus, by the way, here says that the widespread minhag today is for women to wear jewelry, even in the street, despite the isser here in the Mishnah. And numerous reasons for this minhag are brought in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, Simen Shin Gimel, Sif Yud Ches. One reason, Rav Meikle, is because this isser only applies when there is a true Rishus Harabim in the area. And today, many of what we think is considered Rosh Hasharabim is really a Carmelis. The second reason is the fact that the Isser does not apply to women who wear jewelry throughout the week. Since for many centuries, women have been wearing jewelry even during the week, they have the status of Isha Chashuva. Therefore, they are subject to the special heter of Isha Chashuva. This is that an Isha Chashuva is allowed to wear any piece of jewelry, which is exclusively worn by women of her status, since it's considered unlikely that she would take off a piece of jewelry while out on the road to show it to an admiring friend. Since for many years all women can be considered as nashim chashuvais, all ornaments worn by women can be considered as ornaments worn exclusively by affluent women, and so the gzeres chachamim of the gzeres tachshitin is no longer applicable. Regarding the braids of her hair for tefillah, Taisus learns that there are just threads tied around her hair, or Rashi learns that these are full knots. And the Taz in Shulchan Aruch says that there is no problem of untying them, which is a melacha mid rabbanan, since it's needed for tefillah shal mitzvah. And if a nachris does it, it becomes a shvus de shvus, two isurim de rabbanan. It's untying a braid, which is one, and amir al-akam is two. And we hold that a shvus de shvus b'makam mitzvah is mutter. The Gemara. The following items are chatzitzais for a man. Number one, strings of wool or linen or straps used to braid hair. Rabbi Yehuda says, if made of wool or hair, it's not called a chatzitza, since water penetrates them. And Shmuel said the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda by strings of hair, that they are not considered to be a chatzitza. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, anything which is under a woman's normal hair covering, it is mutter to go out with it. If on top of a head cover, for example, a headdress, it's usser, since she might take it off to show to her friends and end up carrying it in a Rishus HaRabim. Daf Nun Ches. From the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim assered the wearing of the Ataras Kala, a golden crown. But an istama, a crown made of fabric, that is considered mutter. And the Eliyahu Rabba, in Simen Tof Kuf Samach Sifkat Nches, says that today the minig is that if a woman wants to wear a crown, as long as it's predominantly made of fabric, even if it has some gold or silver, that it is mutter to wear. The Gemara says if someone goes out with a talis folded over and placed on his shoulder, that he's chayef rachatis for haitza. Of course, to wear a talis in a normal way, that's mutter, both going and returning from shul on Shabbos. An eved can go out with his owner's insignia if it's attached to his neck, but not if it's attached to his clothes. Epuna Rabbi Yeshua says if an item is sewn into a beged, that it's mutter to be carried in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, since it won't fall off, and there's no chashash that he'll carry it. A keli must be a full keli to be able to be mekabel tuma. For example, a bell with a clapper. But if it is not a full keli, for example, it's a bell without a clapper, then it is not mekabel tuma. But if it had a clapper, but it was removed, then it can still become tame. Daf Nun Tes. A zov can be metame something via tumas medras, if he sits on it. But he must sit on something which is miyuchad li yeshiva, set aside for sitting, for example, a chair. But if it's something that people do not normally sit on, for example, a dish, then tumas medras does not apply if a person does sit on it. A woman cannot go out on Shabbos with an ir shel zav, a gold ornament with the image of Yerushalayim, similar to that which Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. If he does go out with it, Rameir says, he's chayav achatas, since this is called a masoi. The Chachamim say he's potter, since this is called a tachshit. Rabbi Ezra says it's mutter to go out lechatchila, since only chashava women go out with such a fancy ornament, and a chashava woman would not take it off to show her friend. And this, as we mentioned before, is the heter today, that women are able to wear tachshitin, jewelry in a Rishus HaRabim. The general minig, by the way, today that we say that women are allowed to wear tachshitin outside of Rishus HaYachid applies to women. However, the minig by men is not to wear jewelry on Shabbos. Rebbe was the Rosh Yeshiva, and he wrote in his tzava that Rabbi Chanina should be the Rosh Yeshiva, and Levi was his equal, but he used to learn in Naharda. And Levi paskin that certain ornaments are mutter to go out with on Shabbos. Finally, Rav Ashi said, wearing a second belt on top of one belt is usur, since people don't usually wear one belt on top of another. And Tosfos says that two belts, however, may be worn if each one is worn on top of a different beged. So, for example, a person can wear a belt to hold up a pair of pants, and a person can then wear a gartel to cover or to close a jacket. That would be mutter on Shabbos. Daf Samach, the Mishnah. A man should not go out on Shabbos with a sandal hamasumer, a sandal that has nails in the sole to connect it with the upper part of the sandal, unless he has a wound. He also cannot go out with tefillin, a kameya. Kameya is an amulet, which does not come from a mumcha, or war equipment. But if he does, he's pater michatas, since these are lemaisa called clothing. Gemara. The reason that a sandal hamasumer is asur on Shabbos is because of a maisa that once happened, bizman hashmad, where many people on Shabbos hid in a cave, and once when they thought the enemy had discovered them, there was a panic, and many people were trampled to death with these sandals that were full of sharp nails. The rule is that regarding malacha, Shabbos and Yontav are the same, except regarding food. Ein ben Shabbos liyontav, elo oichel nefesh bilvad. Daf Samach Aleph. A person should not go out with only one sandal, unless he has an injured foot, then he can wear the one for comfort. Rabbi Yochanan holds, putting on shoes is similar to putting on tefillin. Just like tefillin go on the left hand, so too first one puts on the left shoe. The fact that tefillin go on the left hand is learned from the Gemara Menachas Daf Lamed Zayin, from the Pasuk in Parshas Bay, which says, V'haya lo'ois al yodcha, the extra hay tells us, yad keha, the weaker hand, i.e. the left hand. And the Yirei Shemayim should do as follows. Put on the right shoe first, but don't tie it. Then put on the left shoe and tie it. And then go back and tie the right shoe. When one washes his body, he should wash the right limbs first. The Gemara says one should not go out with tefillin on Shabbos, whether one holds Shabbos lavzman tefillin, or even if one holds Shabbos is the zman for tefillin. Since if one has to go to the bathroom, he'll have to take it off, and he may walk dalat amas bishus harabim and be over on haitzah. But if one does go out with tefillin, he's pater from achatas, since tefillin are really a beged, and going out with them on Shabbos is only an iser midrabbanan. The Gemara in Erev and Tzadik Vav Amar Aleph brings two reasons why one should not wear tefillin on Shabbos. Basically, he learns it from the pasuk of Vishamarta Asachuka Hazais, Lame Adam Yamim Yamima. You should guard this law of tefillin each day. He infers from the term miyamim that tefillin are worn only on some days, only on weekdays, but not on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva learns it from the pasuk of Ahaya Lacha La'ais. Tefillin should be a sign for you. Since Shabbos is also called an ice, as the pasuk says, ice hi, bein yu, bein echem, it's a sign between Hashem and you, there is no need for a second ice on Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos, daf samach aleph amid beis. A kameya, an amulet, can be worn in Rosh Hashanah only if it is clear that it actually works to heal someone. And if a kameya has the Shem Hashem, if it gets worn out, it requires geniza. In fact, anything that has the Shem Hashem on it, after it wears out, requires geniza. Daf samach beis. The shin of the tefillin, the dalad, which is at the back of the head, as well as the yud on the tefillin shalyad, which spells shakai, are all halacha l'mayshim Sinai and have kedusha. Therefore, even though tefillin are covered with batim, if one has to go to the bathroom, he must still take off the tefillin. The Mishnah. A woman is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a sewing needle, even if you put it into the clothing. It's considered a masoi, a burden, not a tachshit, not an ornament. Or she cannot go out with a ring which has a seal. Or she cannot go out with a kulier. This is a certain type of an ornament, a spice bundle, or wearing a bottle of balsam oil. If she went out with any of these, she is chayav to bring a chatas, because all these are considered to be a masoi. The Chachamim say she's putter by spices and oil, since the Chachamim classified these two as ornaments. The Gemara. The halacha by a woman is that a signet ring is osur midaraisa on Shabbos to carry. But a regular ring is only asur midrabanan. This is the opposite of a man, whereby since his normal derech is to wear a signet ring, so a signet ring is considered a tachshit, and it's only asur midrabanan. But a regular ring would be called a masoi. And Ula says, men and women are totally different. Nashim am bifnei atzmanhem. They are a totally different category than men vis-a-vis certain halachas. The Gemara says tefillin, if found in the countryside, by either a man or a woman, they're allowed to wear them one at a time back to the city. Because it's considered a malbush. It's considered something which is worn. But tefillin are a mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So women are totally putta from wearing tefillin. How can they wear them? It would be like carrying. Our answer is this is like Rameir, who holds that the zman of tefillin is not only by day, but at night as well. Therefore, it's not really a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, and women would be allowed to wear them. Finally, there are three activities which bring a person to poverty. Number one, if one urinates next to his bed. Number two, one who is not careful with atilas yadayim. And number three, if a man's wife curses her husband in front of him, and she does this because he doesn't buy her tachshitim when he can afford it. Daf Samach Gimel. The trees of Yerushalayim used to be cinnamon trees, and when they used them for firewood, the beautiful smell could be enjoyed throughout Eretz Yisrael. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, these trees were hidden as well. The next Mishnah. A man on Shabbos is not allowed to go out into a Rosh HaSarabim carrying a sword, a bow, or a shield, and if he did, he's chayev achatas. All these are considered to be a masoi. Rabbi Eliezer argues and says these are really tachshitim for him. Therefore, he's potter from bringing a chatas. And the Chachamim say these are not ornaments, but are shameful and will not be used by the Yemais HaMashiach in the future, as the pasuk says, "Lo yisagoy al goy cherev v'lo yilmedu oid milchama." They won't lift up swords against each other, and there won't be any more wars. Finally, the Mishnah says a biris is not mekabel tuma, and one can go out with it on Shabbos. But kvalim are tameh, so one cannot go out with them on Shabbos. The Gemara. Shmuel says, Ein bein oylam hazel yamais hamashiach ala shibud golius bilvad. The only difference between oylam hazeh and yamais hamashiach is the fact that we'll be free from exile and shibud to foreign kings. And the prophecy of la yisa goyal gecherev refers to oylam haba, the afterlife, not to yamais hamashiach, the times of Mashiach. According to Shmuel, the world will continue to exist in its present state when Mashiach comes, with the only difference being that the Bnei Yisrael will live in Eretz Yisrael under Jewish rule and not be subjugated to foreign nations. Ein bein yamais haMashiach la'elam hazeh, ela shibud golius bilvad. Reb Chiya bar Ava says that all the prophecies even refer to yamais haMashiach. He's of the opinion that elam haba is so sublime that no one, even the Nevi'im, are able to fathom what it is going to be like. Ayin le'ra'asa. Tosfos adds that Ein bein olam hazeh liyamais haMashiach ela shibud golius bilvad should not be taken totally literally. As we know, in the Yamais haMashiach, Yerushalayim will also be rebuilt. So it's more than just the fact that we're not going to be mishubed to the Goyim. Rav Kahana said a person should first learn all the information in the Torah from his Rebbe, and later on go back and try to understand it in more specific detail. Rabbi Yehoshua said, if two Talmidei Chacham who ask questions to each other to sharpen their Havana, Hashem will give them Hatzlacha, and they will reach high positions. But this will not happen if they do this with Gaiva, or if it's learnt Shalai Lishma. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, Gadol ha'malva yosem in ha'iset staka. Lending money is greater than just giving the money at staka, because it saves the recipient from embarrassment. And if one gives money to someone as working capital for an investment, he gets the most schar. Rabbi Kahana said, anyone who raises a vicious dog in his house prevents kindness from happening in his house, because the Ani won't want to come close to the house. They'll be afraid of the dog. From the Pasuk in Koheles, Yud Aleph, Smach Bachor b'yaldusecha, rejoice, young man, in your childhood, we learn that one should joyfully learn Torah, but then you must apply the learning to Ma'asim Tovim and fulfillment of the mitzvahs as well. When the Mishnah says Kfalim and Birus, it's referring to bracelets which go on the legs. Finally, Reb Dimi said, normally a piece of cloth can only be Mekabel Tuma if it's at least the size of 3x3 etzbois. But if it is woven to be used specifically in a size of less than 3x3 etzbois, which is referred to as Arig, then even this tiny cloth can be Mekabel Tuma. This is learned from the tzitz, the head plate, worn by the Kohen Gadol, which was very small, yet chashev enough to be considered a beged of the Kohen Gadol of its own. Daf Samach Daled. There are many items that if they come into contact with a dead sheretz, they become tamei as well. Tanan de Rabbi Yishmael asks, why did the Klal Yisrael require a kapara after the door of Midian? More answers, because they had pleasure by looking at the znus of Midian. And Rav Sheshes added, kol ha-mistakel b'etzba katana shel isha, ki ilu mistakel b'makam haturfa. Anyone who looks at even the little finger of a woman, it's like gazing at the makam ha-erva. Before we move on to the next Mishnah, we should talk about the halacha regarding wearing a key as part of a belt and carrying that in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. A key may be made into part of an existing belt, for example a leather or a vinyl belt, and then be worn around the waist. However, this requires that the key is an intrinsic part of the belt, serving as an essential part of the belt. For example, it can be used instead of the prong of the buckle, thereby doing the essential service of fastening the belt around one's waist. What about making a belt by attaching the key to a string? In that case, a key may be tied to a piece of string and then be worn as a belt on a garment, which does not already have a belt around it. Here again, the key must be doing the essential service of linking one end of the string to the other. This can be achieved by tying one end of the string through the hole of the key, bringing the string around one's waist, and then tying the other end of the string either around the teeth of the key, or once again through the hole of the key. In either case, the key is the link, since otherwise the ends of the string would not be joined together. These are just some interesting aids of what a person can do if he needs to carry a key on Shabbos from one place to the other. The next Mishnah. A woman can go out on Shabbos with hair braided into her own hair, whether this new hair comes from a friend or from an animal. She can also go out with Pe'a Nachris, which is a shetel, to the chatzer, but not to Rishus HaRabim. A woman can also go out with a pad in her ear, a shoe, or placed in a position to catch damnida, so it doesn't ruin her clothing. She can also go out with an item in her mouth for medicinal purposes, but she can't put it in on Shabbos. A false tooth made of gold, Rebbe says it's mutter to go out with that, the Chachamim say aser, since it looks funny, people may make fun of her, and then she'll take it out and carry it dalar amas b'rishus harabim. It's interesting to point out that the Shilte HaGiborim, brought on the Chavtes Amar Aleph in the Dafei HaRif, uses our Mishnah as a makor for the minig today, of married women who must cover their hair to cover it with a shetel. The Gemara. Rav says even though when the Rabbanan said it is usher to wear an item in Rishus HaRabim, it is also usher in a chatzer, the exception to this is a kavul or a peah nachris, a wig, where they are mutter to wear it in a chatzer. And the reason is, kedeish lo tiskana isha al bala, so that a woman should not appear repulsive to her husband. Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yaisi says, all tachshitim are mutter in a chatzer. When we say chatzer, many Rishonim hold that the heter of chatzer applies even to a chatzer she'eno me'urevas, as long as it isn't a Rishus HaRabim midaraisa. And as we mentioned earlier, today we are mekel that women are allowed to wear tachshitim even outside of a Rishus HaYachid, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Gimel, Sif Yud Ches. Finally, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said, Kol makam she'asru chachamim ne'maras ha'ayin afilo b'chadrei chadarim asur. In any place where the Chachamim made a takana, that something is usher to do because of Maras Ha'ayin, a person is not allowed to do this Maisa even in private. Daf Samachay. A sanitary napkin used to catch Dam Nida can be used on Shabbos in Rishus HaRabim, even if it isn't tied to the woman, since blood is mius, and she wouldn't attempt to carry it with her hands. One important shaila here is regarding a meich dochuk, the examination cloth, inserted on the eve of the Shiva Nikiyam, which is left in position from Shkia until Tzeis. If a woman inserts a meich dochuk on Friday evening, or Shabbos afternoon before the end of Shabbos, most shitas, including Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik L'Racha, and the Minchas Yitzchak, hold that a woman should be machmir not to go out into Rosh HaRabim, since at that point, this isn't really a bodily requirement. The Tzitz Eliezer, however, is matirat. Finally, although there is a machlokes if a false gold tooth can be worn in Rosh HaRabim, a silver tooth, all hold, is mutter. What about a pair of rubbers or galoshes that a person wears over shoes when it's raining? The halacha is that rubbers may be worn in Rosh HaRabim, although one's main intention in wearing them is to safeguard one's shoes. They're mutter because they also offer protection to the person's feet, as it's very uncomfortable to wear wet shoes, and in fact a person could get sick from wearing wet shoes for a long period of time. The next Mishnah. A woman is allowed to go out with a coin connected to a tzinnis, a wound. Small girls with pierced ears can go out with strings or wood splinters inside the pierce mark to keep the hole from closing. Finally, a person can fasten the end of his cloak with a stone or a coin on Shabbos. Gemara. The daughters of Shmuel were not allowed by their father to wear these ear strings, to sleep together, or to use the river as a mikveh for tefillah in Chodesh Nisan. During Chodesh Nisan, he built them regular mikvahs. But he allowed them to use the river to be tevil during Tishrei. But when he did allow them during Tishrei, he put mats on the bed of the river to prevent chatzitas. The Gemara says when the Euphrates River, the Nahar Pras, gets large, it's proof that there was a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael. And the rule is that a mayan, a spring or a river, is kosher lemikvah if the water is still, ba'ashbayrin, or flowing, zeichelin. A mikvah, water which stands in one place, is only kosher ba'ashbayrin. These are our mikvahs today. When you go to the mikvah, it's standing in one place. If the water is standing still, then it's kosher. But if it's zeichelin, if it's flowing, then it's pasul. Rainwater, which does not emanate from a spring, is only kosher if it is still. So if it is Chodesh Nisan and there was a lot of rain, Shmuel was afraid that the rivers were mostly rainwater. And since rainwater is pasul, if it is flowing, and a river is certainly flowing, it might become pasul for tefillah. Hence he prohibited his daughters from using the rivers in Nisan, but allowed it in Tishrei after the dry summer season, since there's no rain during the summer, so Raiv is certainly spring water. For an interesting Shaila, see the Taz in Yeridea, Simon Reish Aleph, Sifkatan Gimel, where the Trumas Hadeshan asks that if when a lot of Mayim She'uvim falls into a mikveh of 40 saw, even if it's rife, it does not passel the mikveh due to hashaka, due to the fact that it was being kissed, so to say. So once the passel of Mayim She'uvim touches the kasher water, it becomes kasher as well. Why here by the river don't we say the same thing? That as the rainwater touches the river should be matured via hashaka. One other interesting thing to point out is that because of this halacha, that a mikveh of rainwater is kosher only ba'ashbayrin, if it's standing still, this is the reason we have to be very careful that a mikveh is properly sealed and has no cracks in it. Because if there are cracks, the water begins to flow, it becomes zeichelin, and in turn it passels the mikveh. Daf Samach Vav, the next Mishnah. A kiteah, a person who does not have a foot, he is allowed to go out on Shabbos with a false foot or a wooden foot, because it's equivalent to a person who has a foot who can go out without a shoe. Rabbi Yossi says it's also for a kiteah to go out with a false foot, since it's made from wood, and it's also to go out with something like that on Shabbos. The Gemara. And if the false foot had a base kibble, a receptacle, if a mace touches it, it can be mekabel tumas mace, since now it's like a keli. But it cannot be mekabel tumas medrus, since it doesn't really support his weight, but only serves the purpose of looking like the person has a foot. Rava says, it is mekabel tumas medrus, since sometimes it does support the weight of the kiteah. The next Mishnah. Little boys can go out with knots, and b'nei melachim, princes, can go out with bells on their clothing. Since b'nei melachim usually had bells, so we're not afraid that they would take them off to show someone in Rosh HaRabim, and walk dalet amos b'Rosh HaRabim. Al-Daf brings the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Kuf Dalet, which says that the Rabbanon Asur play musical instruments on Shabbos. And the Gemara in Be'ah, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, explains that the reason they assert it is because we're afraid of tikkun kli. We're afraid the person may come to fix it if it breaks. The Ramah in Siman Shin Lamed Ches Sif Aleph rules that including in this Isser Midrabanan is something called Hashmas Koil, using any device which is designed to make noise. For example, such as a door knocker, that would also be Osir on Shabbos to knock the door knocker due to the same Gzeira Midrabanan of Shema Tikkun Kli, which applied to any musical instrument. The Gemara. If a son is very attached to his father, he is allowed to tie a string from his right shoe and put it on the child's left hand. A woman is allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing an Evan Tekuma. This is a special stone which helps prevent a miscarriage. This is whether she has had a history of miscarrying or not. Daf Samach Zayin, the next Mishnah. Rameir says on Shabbos one can go out wearing the egg of a locust, the tooth of a fox, and the reason these are mutter, since these are skulas for refuah, they help a person to heal himself if need be. The Chachamim say it's osur, even during the week, to carry these, since these skulas are darke hoyamori, and the pasuk in Vayikra Yudches says ubchukaseihem loy seilechu. Therefore, it's not mutter to go out with these even during the week. Regarding chilul Shabbos for a person who is in sakana, the Ramban and the Rajba assert that one can desecrate the Shabbos in an effort to save a sick person's life via a segula-type remedy. Moreover, the Chidah writes in the Birka Yosef Simen Shin Aleph that it was once reported that Rabbeinu Peretz once wrote a kameya, an amulet, on Shabbos for a woman in labor who was experiencing serious difficulty and was in a mukam sakana. The Rambam, however, in his commentary to the Mishnah, says that one can violate the Shabbos in treating a critically ill person only if he is administering a natural or scientific cure. However, one may not be mechal Shabbos to administer a segula type of a cure, because this is something which is not considered as being dependable. The Gemara. If it is obvious that something is done l'tzarech refuah, then it is mutter and there is no chshash of darkei ha'amori. Finally, if someone dances with chicks, or dances when he makes kutach, this is osur due to darkei ha'amori. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin Perek Zayin, Klal Gadol, the Mishnah. Concerning Shabbos, they said a Klal Gadol, a major rule. If someone forgot that there was such a thing as Shabbos, and he did many melachos on many Shabbosos, and then he found out about this thing called Shabbos, he only has to bring one Karban Chatas, since it's like one Shaygig. The second case, if he knew about Shabbos, but he thought today was Tuesday, and he did many melachos over a few Shabbosos, then he's chayev one chatas for each Shabbos. Yavim shevinatayim havin yediya lechalik. Since these days between each Shabbos creates a separation between the different Shabbosos, so each one is considered a separate shkaga. Case number 3. If he knows today is Shabbos, but did many melachas, since he thought each one was a permitted act, and he did these on many Shabbosos, then he's chayev a chatas for every melacha which he did. Finally, if someone does two similar melachas, for example, two toldas of one av, or the av and the tolda of that av, then he's only chayev one chatas for that entire av melacha. Daf Samaches, the Gemara. Why does our Tana call this rule a klal gadol? There was only one other place in Shas where we use this lashon of klal gadol, and that's in Masechta Shviyos. Gemara answers, since there are so many avos and toldas, it's a very broad iser, so it's referred to as a klal gadol. For a peri to be chayev in peah, it must be edible, protected, grown from the ground, and it must be an item which is stored. And to be chayev in meiser, it must be edible, protected, and grown from the ground. The Gemara brings Rav and Shmuel, who learn a chiddush, that our Mishnah, which says in the first case, that if someone is mechuyev only one chatas for being mechal Shabbos many times, that's referring to a tinik shenishba, someone who was captured and lived amongst the goyim, so he never really knew about Shabbos. Or it's referring to a ger sheniskayer. He converted to become a Jew, but never was told about Shabbos. But a Jew who knew about Shabbos, and he was mechal Shabbos, he must bring a separate chatas for every Shabbos that he was mechal Shabbos. The Chassam Sefer explains that even though a tinik shenishba cannot be faulted for his ignorance and should not be punished, Rav and Shmuel mechayev him to bring a karban chatas, because they say that the chatas obligation is for the purpose of a kapara, not for the purpose of an einish. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue, they argue on Rav and Shmuel, and they say that the Mishnah is referring to one who once learned about Shabbos, but subsequently forgot about it. However, a tinik shenishba ben hanachrim, a child who was kidnapped and raised as a guy, he's exempt from a chattas because he's considered to be a coerced individual, an einus, not considered to be a shaygig, an inadvertent transgressor. The Chazon Ish in Yeridei Simin Beis, Sifkot and Chof Ches, writes that today individuals who were raised in homes which are non-observant are considered to be tinaikais shenishbu. Finally, Munvaz said that in this case there is no chiyuv of a carbon at all, since a chattas can only occur if there was some kind of yediyah when the avera was done. Daf Samach Tes. If someone is aware that something is a forbidden melacha on Shabbos, but he didn't know that if you do it, you're chayav a carbon, you're still chayav to bring a carbon. The Gemara says by truma, if a zar eats it b'shaygig, he must pay a karen plus a chaymish, and the shaygig must be on the lav. If someone was traveling and he lost track of which day Shabbos was, he should now count 6 days, and on day 7 he should observe Shabbos. This is like the order of the creation of the world, that at the end of the 6 days, the 7th day was Shabbos. Chiya Bar Rav argues, and says first he should observe Shabbos, then he should count 6 days of Chol. This is analogous to Adam Harishon, who first began with Shabbos, then he had 6 days of Chol. Finally, even though he's allowed to wait 6 days before observing Shabbos, but on those 6 days he can only do the work he needs to do to basically eat to be able to survive. On day 6 he can work double, and on day 7 he rests, makes Kiddush, as well as Havdalah. Tosfos asserts that although he's prohibited from doing Melacha every day, he's permitted to violate the Halacha Midrabanan, which limits the distance a person may travel on Shabbos to 2,000 amas outside the city limits. This is called the Tchum Shabbos. For if he would have to keep that, he would never find his way out of a desert, and his life would be in danger. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simen, Shin, Dalet, Mem, Sif Aleph, rules that this lost traveler may travel more than the Tchum Shabbos all week, even on his Shabbos, because, as we mentioned before, according to Tosfos, that a person would be in danger if he wouldn't be allowed to travel and find his way out of the area that he was and the area that he is now lost in. Dafayin. The Torah in Shmais Lamed Hei says, Lo Sevaru Eish Bechol Moshvaisechem B'yayim HaShabbos. The Torah does not specifically talk about any of the individual malachas except for Havara. The question is, why does the Torah single out Havara? Reb Nelson says, the Torah singles out the malacha of Havara with a special pasuk to tell us that if one does a lot of malachas, behelam achas, in one period of unawareness, he still chayav a special karban for not only the Havara, but for each and every malacha, he's chayav a special karban, one for each. This is referred to as Havara lechalek yatzis. Rabbi Yossi holds, Havara lelav yatzis. And what that's coming to tell you is that although all the malachas, if done b'mezid, are chayav misa, the Torah singled out Havara to tell us that if it is done b'mezid, there is no chiyuv misa, but just alav. And the Gemara, by the way, in Makkos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, says that the concept of chiluk malachas applies only to Shabbos, but not to Yontif. If one does several categories of malachas on Yontif, then he's mechuyev only in one set of malchus, not in multiple sets of malchus. If a person had in mind to write the name Shimon on Shabbos, which now is the malacha of Kaisiv, but he only wrote Shin Mem, two letters, then he's still chayev for this mixtus malacha, since Shin Mem also spells the word Shem. Finally, Tchum Shabbos is an Isser Midrabanan. Rabbi Akiva argues and holds that it is Isser Midaraisa. Dafayin Alf. If someone ate 2 kezesim of chelev, chelev is forbidden fats, and he eats them behelamachas in one period of unawareness, and he found out one of them was Usser, and then he ate a 3rd kezias, which was eaten behelamachas, with the 2nd kezias, i.e. the first 2 were behelamachas and the last 2 were behelamachas. So Rava says if he brought a carbon from the 1st kezias, that will help for the 2nd as well, since they were eaten behelamachas. But it won't cover the 3rd kezias, i.e. we don't say grera. But if he brought a carbon for the middle one, it will be mechaper for all 3. Abaya says, if he brings a carbon for any of the 3, it's mechaper for all 3, i.e. we do say grera. The Gemara says if one eats a chatzi zayis of one iser and a chatzi zayis of a different iser, one is only chayev for a chatas b'shoigig, or malchus b'mezid, if both are of the same type of food, min b'minei, then they're mitzaref for the iser. But if there are 2 different types of food, min b'she'en b'minei, then he's potter. We should point out the Gemara in Yuma, Dafayin Gimel Amid Beis, which brings a famous machloikis between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish regarding chatzi shir. Rabbi Yechanan says, even though normally the kezayis is the minimum shear necessary for malchus or chatas. There is, however, an iser min haTorah to eat any amount, even less than a kezayis, i.e. chatzi shear is osur min haTorah. Reish Lakish disagrees and says that there's no iser min haTorah to eat less than a kezayis of something which is osur. Chatzi shear ain osur min haTorah. Finally, Bar Karban Chatas all agree that one can only be chayef if at some point there was the idea that an avera was done. By an osham, it's a machloikis, however. Reb Tarfon says even if a person is besafik, if he did an avera, he can still bring a karban osham with a tanai. Dafayin base. If someone has relations with a shivcha knanis, who is engaged to an ever ivri, this is referred to as a shivcha charufa, then he must bring a karban osham. And by a shivcha charufa, the asham is brought both in a case of bemezid as well as b'shaygig. If he does it a few times, he's only chayev for one karban. But a bia that occurred after the hafrasha of the karban, the new be'ila cannot be nichlal in the kapara of the first karban. And if he is bayil five different times with the idea in between each be'ila, he may be chayev five different karbanas. I.e. by shivcha charufa, it's a machlekes if we say yediyah mechalekes or not. If someone had kavana to do one maisa, for example, to pick up something which is detached, which is tolish, something like a spoon, but instead he cut something from the ground, we say that he's potter. This is what we call misasik. He is preoccupied with something else. This is learned from the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Dalet, pasuk Chav Gimel. Ayhaida elav chatosai asher chotaba vehevi eskarbane. If it became known to him, his sin, that he sinned in it, he shall bring his offering. The extra word ba teaches us that only if a person has kavana to do something is he chayav to bring a chatas. But if he's preoccupied, he's misasek, then he's potter. But then the Gemara gives us a different case. If he had kavana to cut a vegetable, but he had kavana to cut a vegetable that was mutter to cut since he thought it was talush, but by accident he cut something which was mechuber, something which was attached, Rava says, then he's potter. Since he didn't have kavana to do a chaticha de isura. Abai, on the other hand, argues and says in that case he would be chayev, since lamaisa he had kavana to cut, even though he had kavana to cut something else, but he's still chayev, since lamaisa he had kavana to cut something. The Gemara says if one does numerous acts of avodah zarah behelamachas, for example, he does nisuch and he bows down, then he's only chayev for one karban. If someone bowed to an avodah zarah, me'ava oy miyura, Rashi learns this means out of love or fear of a person, not out of idolatry, thinking that this bowing is mutter. The Rambam learns that me'ava u'miyura, the Rambam is brought in Perek Gimel, Hilchas Akum, Halacha Vav. He says that it's worshipping out of love, that means out of love for the Avodah Zarah, i.e. one serves an Avodah Zarah because he's taken by its beauty, and out of fear means out of the fear from the Avodah Zarah, meaning that he thinks the Avodah Zarah possesses some mystical power to harm him for refusing to worship it. According to Abaya, in this case, me'ava u'miyura, he's chayev to bring a chatas if it was done b'shaygig, and he's chayev misa that it was done b'mezit. According to Rava, he's potter. We should point out the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Dalad Amar Aleph, which says that avodah zarah is one of the three cardinal sins which one is required to give up his life rather than violate them, yehorek v'al yavar. So here Taisvus asks, how can Rava allow one to violate avodah zarah merely out of love or fear of someone? Taisus answers that Rava does not allow this mi'ava u'miyura, to bow down to an avodah zarah mi'ava u'miyura lechatchila. He only says that after the fact, if one violates this halacha, then we say that he's potter. Dafayin Gimel. If someone had kavana to throw two amas bishus harabim, which is not a malacha, but by accident he threw it dalet amas, which is a malacha, dalet amas bishus harabim, Rava says he's potter, since he didn't have kavana for a zrika iser. Abaya says he's chayev, since lamaisa he did have kavana to throw it. This is actually similar to the machloikas that we had before. At this point we will stop. Mirtzashem on the next tape, we will begin the Mishnah, which will enumerate the specifics of the lametes melachas.